It's an interesting text, and I'm going to attempt to address it. Sometimes when you look at the lectionary passages that are assigned for a particular Sunday, you may want to go somewhere else because it would be easier, but I think this text really spoke to me in a loud way this past week. I want to ask you a question. I wonder if anybody here has ever had the occasion where you felt alone. Now, you don't have to raise your hand and acknowledge that. There was a time, it may not be true, but during that season of your life, you felt that nobody cared, that everybody was just too busy for you in the midst of your loneliness, and it was a very difficult place for you to reside. You know, most of us, one time or the other, could probably say we've had the occasion where we felt alone in the midst of our own difficulties and challenges and problems and wondered if anybody understood what we were going through or cared. Now, I don't know if many of you, especially the millennials and those who are younger, who might remember a very infamous case that happened back in Kew Gardens, Queens in 1964. The victim of this particular crime was a woman named Kitty Genovese. I don't know if you remember that. She was a young woman who was assaulted and, in fact, was murdered right outside of her apartment house. And they say that she screamed for help, which seemed like eternity. And no one in her apartment building called the police or even came to her aid. Friends, I remember this as if it happened yesterday. I was in junior high school when that happened. And yet it still stuck in my mind as a clear example of indifference and not wanting to get involved. And it still goes on to this day. Now, whether we want to admit it or not, we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. I believe that. We're responsible for each other. Jesus is teaching this morning. We could talk about Lazarus. We could talk about all the things that transpired in that parable story that was read by Trudy. But I believe what stood out for me the loudest, it's a story about indifference and not getting involved. He's reminding his hearers of the commandment that I just shared with the kids up here a moment ago when we blessed them, about what it means to love God, and as a result of loving God, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's really what it's about. You see, for Jesus, the word love was not some passive word. It was an action word. To Jesus, love says there must be action to back it up. You know, it's not genuine if we tell someone we love them and we don't prove it by our actions. Because talk is cheap. Amen? Amen. We could say a million things, but do we believe it? In order for love to be real, it must be active. It involves being observant. Jesus is saying you've got to look around to your environment. It requires reaching out. It requires helping others. Now, in this parable that Trudy read, where Jesus is speaking to a crowd and the Pharisees were listening on as well, there were three main characters in the story. There was the rich man, there was the poor man, Lazarus, not to be confused with Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. I know some people, Mary and Martha's brother, not the same Lazarus. And then there was Abraham. The rich man in this story is portrayed as being indifferent about the needs and the struggles of the people around him. In fact, it says, right outside the gates of his home. So in other words, if you were leaving your house this morning, Lazarus would have been on your doorstep and you would have had to step over him to go on your way. He was ignored. He didn't harm the poor man. That's not what it says. He just didn't do anything about the poor man's condition when he could have. He had the resources. He had the time. He had the availability to do something about this poor soul, but he chose not to. I guess in a way, his indifference did harm Lazarus, the poor man. You know, there was a study done in Romania in the 1990s. I remember reading it. I don't know all the details. But there were orphanages in Romania where children were fed and caressed and loved and showed affection. And then in another orphanage, they were just fed and never picked up, as Christopher is picked up today. Never caressed, never kissed, never shown affection. And they showed that the two different orphanages, the children that grew up, even though they were orphans, they were shown affection and love and caressed. They grew up to be stable young adults. The children who were not caressed grew up sickly and unstable, fed the same food, they just weren't showed love and affection. That's how important attention and love and affection is to the human soul, the human heart, the human being, if you will. There's something about being noticed, and there's something about being loved. As Christians, yes, we believe in heaven and hell, but I want to tell you, for many, hell on earth is being lonely. Hell on earth is aloneness and feeling very much disconnected from the people around you. Patty might remember this. She was with me at the time. 2 weeks ago or so, a young man came to our food pantry named Claudio. He visited our food pantry. He was crying uncontrollably. He fell into our arms and he wept and he cried because he said ever since he arrived in this country, he had limited ability of speaking English. He has felt disconnected and living without community and feeling very much unloved and alone. He kept saying to us, I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to work anymore. And we kept saying, you don't want to work? And then we realized what Claudio was saying to us, I don't want to walk anymore, because his feet were so blistered from walking from town to town seeking a community that he can engage in and become part of. And it didn't happen for him. He was looking for connectedness. Claudio. You see, in Jesus' parable this morning, the rich man's sin wasn't that he was rich. It's not a sin to be rich. And I want to tell you something. I know many of you don't believe this, or maybe you do. You are rich. Because according, not just talking spiritually speaking, but according to statistics about the rest of the world, we are some of the richest people on the face of the earth. We have clean running water. We have roofs over our heads. We have access to medical care. There's stuff on the shelves in our supermarkets. We have public transportation. We are rich people. So it wasn't that he was rich that was a sin. The rich man's sin was that he ignored the cries of his neighbors, those who were in need around him. They were so focused on themselves, they didn't hear or see the cries of help around them. They were self-absorbed. Now, sometimes all a person needs is to know that somebody cares. Someone took the time to listen, even if it's for a moment. I think Claudio felt that when he came here. He had a shoulder to cry on. He had a meal to put in his empty stomach. And he had a feeling that he was no longer invisible, as he had felt ever since he crossed our border. Now, many of us may not run into a Claudio, but perhaps a phone call to someone who lives alone, or maybe checking in on an elderly neighbor who doesn't have a car down the street, and you're going off to the grocery and you can say, hey, can I get you something? Or when the snow starts to fall, taking the time to not only shovel our driveway, but go to that elderly person's driveway and shovel them out. I think we all know the feeling of when someone took notice of our pain, our hurt, and stepped in to comfort us and to cheer us up. Man, I tell you, I've got some great friends, and when that happens, I've got a great spouse who's my best friend, that when I'm at my lowest point, I'm not alone. And of course, when you have God, you're never alone anyway. But sometimes God, all the time, God says, you need my representative on earth to show you my presence. Sometimes we need to hear it from a living person that they care. You know why? Because none of us should go it alone in this life. None of us. We were created by God to be in community. We were created by God to be in fellowship with others. We were created to be connected and in relationship. That's why the Bible says in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. And he gave Adam Eve. Do you know how the word woman came about? Because when Adam saw Eve, he said, whoa, man. Yes. Thank you, God. But that's why church is important, friends. A community of faith that binds us together in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It pulls us together. Our Christian faith and lives are connected with others. It's from that place where we are nurtured and we grow in our discipleship and our Christian witness. It happens right here in church. And that's why it's important to remain connected to the Christian community, the church. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there shall I be in the midst of them. So when we gather on Sunday morning, we gather in the name of Christ, and his presence is strong and real. So when we do pray, there's power. The Lone Ranger Christian never added up for me. It requires a nurturing community, a community of faith. I could still see the anguished look on Claudio's face, a young man who was disconnected. Claudio was a modern-day Lazarus. And there are Claudios all around us on a daily basis. People living in loneliness. They can be walking on a crowded street like Main Street in Patchogue on a Friday or a Saturday night when the pubs and the restaurants are loaded with people, and they walk through that crowd and they're just as alone as if they were in a room by themselves. Do we notice? They may not be an undocumented man with blistered feet, but they could be your neighbor, they could be your son, they could be your daughter, it could be your grandparents or your parents, it could be a coworker, it could be a classmate. And Jesus is telling us through this parable, look around, take notice. I saw something on Facebook this week that really rocked me. It's about bullying in school. And this is what it said. The girl you just called fat, she's been starving herself, trying to lose weight to be accepted. The boy you called stupid, he has a learning disability. He studies over 4 hours a night while you're sleeping. The girl you just called ugly, she spends endless hours putting on makeup, hoping someone will notice. The boy you just tripped, he's abused enough at home. Sometimes all people need and want is to be noticed, that someone would try to understand them. In my previous church in Belmore, before I came here, I had a little boy named Johnny. My wife will remember him. He ran the PowerPoint for us. 12 years old. And he said to me, Pastor, in a Bible study, whenever I see a kid bullied or I see a kid left out, that's my ministry. I go and connect with them and become their friend. I wanted to call him Saint Johnny because he lives out what Jesus is trying to tell us this morning. The storms of life should never be weathered alone, ever, by anybody, no matter what age they might be. It's not enough to just say, isn't it a shame so-and-so is picked on? Jesus said, what you have done for one of the least of these, you've done unto me. And Johnny, a 12-year-old, said, I've got to put love into action. It's not enough just to look at that boy, that girl being bullied by a crowd and to say, isn't it a shame Mary and John is being bullied? No, I'm going to step in and do something about it. And Johnny does it every day he goes to school. You see, a heart captivated by God's love is the kind of heart that God's looking for. Because God says, if I can get your heart, I could use you to do incredible things on my behalf. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things that could make the lives of other people better simply by being there, simply by caring, simply by listening. I end with a quote from John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. John Wesley wrote this, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Friends, there are so many people around us who are unnoticed. They fly under the radar. They're hurting. Yes, they may be poor, but let me tell you, some of the loneliest people are not so poor at all. They're in fact wealthy. Just think of the celebrities in Hollywood. Some of them lead such miserable, lonely lives, and yet they get multi-million dollar contracts, and yet they still feel very much alone. People are lonely, and all we have to do is engage them. People are hungry, and all we have to do is give them a meal. People are lost, and all we have to do is share with them the hope that we have in Christ. And yes, invite them to church, where we will show them the love that we have. And Jesus keeps whispering. As he did that day, he does this morning. Love one another. Love one another. As I loved you, and I loved you so much, this much, I was willing to allow myself to be nailed to a cross. That's how much love I have for you. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning as we look at this parable of the rich man and Lazarus and Abraham. It's a reminder that you have blessed us so richly as a people, and all you require of us is to love you and love others. Help us to open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our spirit, so that as we engage and journey through our daily lives, we'll look around and notice the people around us. And some of the people who are in need the most may be so close, they may even be under our own roof. Help us to be better disciples, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.